John chapter 3, 1 to 21. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born."
Jesus asked, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with anyone born of the Spirit."
"How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will I believe if I speak of heavenly things? Now one has never gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted, then that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God."
Now, children, you should have got a sheet a bit like this when you came in. Power Guys has a sheet like this for you to use as well. There's some with bigger pictures on there for colouring in. There's some with smaller pictures just to help you follow. They're for grown-ups as well, but I'll leave it up to you to decide whether or not you want one. So do grab one of those. And another thing I'd ask is make sure you can see me. Power Guys especially, because sometimes I look up and you're behind a pillar. If you can't see me, I will ask you to move in the middle of the sermon. I want to be able to see you. I want you to be able to see me. And that's for you, so that you can hear me better, so you can pay attention better. Okay? Now, we have a story. We have a story here. Our story happens in the middle of the night. Stars are shining, and it's quiet. It's in the town of Jerusalem that this story happens. And actually, it wouldn't have looked like that. It would have looked probably a bit more like this. Because there's no electric light in Jerusalem. Very, very different if you're there in daytime. If you're there in daytime, you're walking along the street, and you have to watch it because someone's got a big pan of water, and they slosh it out the front door. You've got to step back. You can hear carts clattering around. People, there's busy, busy, busy. Nighttime, it's dead. And because there's no electricity, when the night time comes, all you've got to light the house is maybe an oil lamp or a candle. But actually, when it comes to night time, people go to sleep. And so our story happens at night time in Jerusalem. It's quiet. If you were to walk around the streets, you wouldn't really hear much. You might go past one door and you'd hear someone softly snoring. Keep on walking. Maybe a cat slinks by across your path. But actually, it's very quiet. No one stays up. It's the middle of the night. It's quiet. But then we turn a corner, and we see one window still has a light on inside. And we get a little bit closer, and there are voices coming out from behind the window. There are people still up in this house. There's two people still up in this house, and they're having a conversation. They're chatting. Everyone else is asleep, but these two are chatting. These two people, one of them is Jesus. We've seen something of Jesus already in John's Gospel. We've seen quite a lot about him already. But what Jesus has just most recently done after he's arrived in Jerusalem is he's gone to the temple and he's caused a bit of a fuss. He's gone to where all the traders and the business people were, all the moneylenders, and he's chucked their tables over and he made a whip out of cords and he chased everybody out of the temple because that was not the right way to be treating the temple. And he was angry, and he was right to be angry. But Jesus has just made a big fuss in Jerusalem. And he's one of the people in this conversation. The other person is a man called Nicodemus. Who's Nicodemus? Well, he's an expert in Jewish law. He probably would have dressed a little bit like that as well. That's just not a funny picture of some guy I found online. That's probably what he would have actually probably dressed like. He's an expert in the Jewish law. He's one of the chief Pharisees, so he's a big deal. Nicodemus is the kind of guy that you'd go to if you had a question about the Bible, or you had a question about God, and you were wondering, oh, I really wonder this about God. Who should I talk to? I'll go talk to Nicodemus. He'll know. That's the kind of person we're talking about. People would look at Nicodemus, and he'd say, he lives a good life. God must be happy with him. Everybody respects him. People would look at Nicodemus, and they say, yeah, he's probably going to heaven. In fact, most people would look at him, and they say, no, he's definitely going to heaven. That kind of guy, he knows his Bible, he lives a good life, he's well-respected, he's definitely going to heaven. God is definitely okay with him. So those are the two people having a conversation in the middle of the night. And why? Why do you think it's in the middle of the night that they're having a conversation? Any ideas? It's not the normal time. Nobody else is chatting in the middle of the night. It's only these two. Well, actually, Nicodemus has come round to talk to Jesus. Nicodemus, he's a chief priest, he's a chief Pharisee, rather. He's a big deal, but he's seen some of the things that Jesus has done, and he's interested in Jesus. He's interested. He sees Jesus doing miracles and amazing things, and he says, normal people can't do this. Maybe this guy's like a prophet or something. And so he wants to talk to him. But he doesn't come down round in the middle of the day. He comes round in the middle of the night. Why do you think Nicodemus goes round in the middle of the night? What do you think, Eliza? To keep it a secret. I think you're right. I think it might have been like that because Nicodemus is a chief Pharisee. He's friends with all the other Pharisees. How do you think the Pharisees felt when Jesus went to the temple and started chucking everything over? Do you think they were happy with Jesus? No. Jesus is not popular at the moment. He's just made a big, big fuss in Jerusalem. And Nicodemus, although he's interested in Jesus, he doesn't want to be seen chatting with Jesus. He doesn't want his friends to see him talking to Jesus. So he's come in the middle of the night when no one will see him. And they have this long conversation. And they chat away, they natter away deep into the night. It's almost like a midnight feast. It's like a midnight debate. Have you ever stayed up later than you should do, just chatting into the night? Yeah? I used to do that with my brother. I used to sort of, we shared a room, so you'd just be lying there, and you know, you wouldn't be able to get to sleep, and I'd just be lying there, just sort of fidgeting. And I'd hear my brother moving around, and I'd go, hey Paul, are you still awake? Yeah. And so we'd start chatting. And we'd make sure we whispered because we didn't want our mum or our dad to hear us and come in because they'd come in. Why are you still talking? Go to sleep. Do you know what time it is? So we'd have to whisper. And we'd natter about all sorts of different kind of things. But none of it was really very important. If you were going to listen to what me and Paul, my brother, said late at night, it'd be something like, what are we going to do tomorrow? I don't know. Should we go to the forest? Yeah. Is so-and-so going to come? Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah, they're annoying. I don't want to go with them. oh yeah. And you would listen in and you'd learn a little bit about what we liked, what we didn't like. You'd learn a little bit about who we liked and who we didn't like, rightly or wrongly. But you wouldn't learn anything really important. That's not the kind of conversation you need to listen to. Not the kind of conversation you're going to learn anything from. But here, we're listening into a conversation, and it's full of really important stuff. I know what you guys are like. You don't like listening to the adults talking most of the time. But you love listening to them talk if they're talking about, like, Pokemon or Minecraft. I mean, there's whole things out there just to do with people talking about things you find interesting. They're called podcasts. So I know that we find it interesting listening to certain conversations. And actually, this is the most important conversation for us to listen to, because Jesus and Nicodemus talk about some really, really amazing stuff, some really important stuff. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to listen into their conversation, and we're going to see three pictures that Jesus uses as he talks to Nicodemus. But as we listen into their conversation, we need to ask God that he would speak to us as we look at this. So let's just pray before we go any further. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that we have this conversation written down for us so that we can kind of listen in. We pray that you would help us to pay attention and to learn lots about you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what happens as Jesus talks to Nicodemus? Maybe they made themselves a hot chocolate. I don't know. Got a little hot chocolate. Cupping it. Okay, let's chat. The first thing Jesus does is he gives Nicodemus a picture. Have a look at verse 3. The first picture is in verse 3. Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So the first picture is a baby, new birth. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, this guy who's like an expert in the Bible, he's so clever. He's spent ages studying the Bible. Everybody knows Nicodemus is so, so clever. He knows tons about God. Jesus says, it's like you've got to start all over again. You've got to go right back to the beginning. This is the first picture. Because Nicodemus thinks, actually, to be okay with God, it's about what you do. And Jesus wants to say no. Nicodemus is a little bit like this. He thinks life is a bit like a ladder. He thinks life is a little bit like a ladder. At the top is being okay with God and going to heaven. At the bottom is, not being okay with God. That's what Nicodemus thinks life is like. And Nicodemus, he thinks, actually, that he's kind of about here. He's doing pretty well. And he doesn't really understand what Jesus is saying, does he, at first? Have a look at verse 4, after Jesus says, you have to be born again. How does Nicodemus respond? He doesn't get it, does he? Verse 4, he says, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And so Jesus explains a little bit more. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Ah, so Jesus is talking about a whole different type of life. When we're born, we're just born flesh and skin and bone, aren't we? Jesus is talking about a whole different type of new life, a new life as a Christian. It's a whole different thing. Connected, but a whole new different birth. And he tells this to Nicodemus because Nicodemus, he thinks making yourself okay with God is like this ladder. You can make yourself okay according to what you do, according to what you think, according to what you believe, maybe. So for Nicodemus, for example, remember his list of things. So Nicodemus thinks, okay, am I at the top of the ladder or am I at the bottom? Well, I'm an expert in Jewish law. I'm one of the chief Pharisees. I'm not just a Pharisee, I'm one of the chief Pharisees. I'm very clever. I mean, I've read a lot of clever books about God. I live a very good life. Everyone would say that about me. I'm really well respected. I'm definitely the top of the ladder. That's what Nicodemus would say about himself. And actually, that's the kind of the way that we can think nowadays as well. It's very easy for us to think the same kind of thing, that we're kind of, we're kind of up there. I don't want to say I'm right at the top, but I'm kind of up there because there's lots of other people that do worse stuff than me. So, I'm probably okay. That's the first picture that Jesus gives us. But actually, Jesus says to Nicodemus, is that right? That life is like a ladder? that you can make yourself more okay with God according to what you do? Well, he says no. Life is not like that at all. It's not like that. Have a look at verse 8. Jesus starts talking about the wind, and he starts talking about the Spirit. And what he says here is he uses a picture of the wind. It's been really windy recently, hasn't it? I don't know if it's been windy here. I've been somewhere else this week. But where I was, it was really, really windy. But you can't ever actually see the wind. And you can't control the wind. You can only see what the wind is already doing. And Jesus says it's a little bit like that with the people that have new life. Because it's the Spirit of God that gives it to them. It's not people. I can't give you that new life. We can't give ourselves that new life. Only the Spirit of God can do it. And he says that to Nicodemus because Nicodemus has had a whole life thinking that he can make people saved or not by his teaching. But Jesus says here, no, trying to live a life that's good enough for God doesn't make you okay with God. The only one who can do that for you is God himself. People can't do it. Only God can. So the first picture Jesus gives Nicodemus is this picture of new birth. Have a look at verse 9. Does Nicodemus get it? Have a look. Does he get it now? Mm-mm. No, he still doesn't get it. Still doesn't understand. How can this be? He doesn't understand. Because Nicodemus has spent a lifetime thinking he knows what he knows. How to be okay with God. Yeah, I know. I've had a lifetime thinking about this. I teach everybody else this stuff. I know this stuff. Jesus comes and his whole world is flipped upside down. His mind is just, this is so different to anything I've ever learned, Nicodemus thinks. So his mind would have been buzzing with so many questions. Oh, wow, that means this and that means this. And wait, hang on a sec. What about this and what about that? And one big question in his mind might be, well, how can anyone be saved? Because if I can't make myself okay with God by, you know, the ladder kind of thing, and no one else can make me okay with God by sort of bumping me up the ladder, how can I know? How can I be saved? That might be a big question that Nicodemus has at this point. And that's why Jesus gives him a second picture. The second picture, which is this one, a bronze snake. A bronze snake. And we had this read earlier. The Maloney's read this story for us. It's a story from the Old Testament. If we rewind back to the Old Testament and we see the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, wandering around in the desert, trying to find the promised land. Can anyone tell me, when the Israelites wandered around in the wilderness for all those decades, were they good at listening to God or were they a bit rubbish at listening to God?
A bit rubbish.
A bit rubbish, yeah. God was constantly saying, this is what you should do, and they did the exact opposite. God was constantly giving them good things. He was being kind to them, and they thought, don't like it, don't want it. They were rude to God, really horrible to God. And, you know, whenever I read those stories, I always think, oh, man, I wouldn't be that patient. I wouldn't be as patient as God is. Straight away, when someone upsets me, I'm angry straight back. But God was patient and kind with the Israelites again and again and again. But sometimes he would send them a punishment to remind them that they need him and to make them turn away from what they've been doing wrong and come back to him. And that's what happens in this story. The people of Israel, they're out in the wilderness. This is what it says in Numbers 21. It says, the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. God was giving them food. They didn't have to do anything to earn it. He just gave it to them. We detest it. And so God sent poisonous snakes into the area. I hate snakes, so I don't like that photo being on there. But imagine what it was like for the Israelites. He sent poisonous snakes into the area. Poisonous snakes came in swarms, and they started biting the people of Israel. And because they were poisonous, these people were dying. And it got so bad that the people of Israel cried out to God and they said, we know we've sinned. We know we've done wrong. Please, please save us from these snakes. And so what God did is he told Moses to make a snake out of bronze. And he put this snake up onto a pole. And then God said, right, what's going to happen now is that if you get bitten, you go to the bronze snake, you look at the bronze snake, and I will heal you. God healed anybody who looked at the bronze snake. God gave them a way to be saved. God made a way for them to be saved. But Nicodemus and Jesus are chatting here, remember? And it's Jesus that mentions this story. So why does Jesus mention this story? I mean, there's tons of good stories in the Old Testament. David and Goliath, we sang about a whole bunch of them earlier. I mean, there's tons of good stories. Why does Jesus talk about that one? Joel, do you think you know? It is talking about that, yes, but there's lots of stories in the Bible about that. Now, what he's saying here is he's saying, think about it, God gave the people of Israel a way to be saved. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, God has made a way for you to be saved as well. We get the answer if we have a look at verse 14. Have a look at verse 14. Why does Jesus mention this story? Well, because it points forward to him. Verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In this story, God made a way for the people to be saved, but in eternity, God has made a way for people to be saved as well. And that way is Jesus. So Jesus tells this story, and it's almost like he's saying, I'm like the bronze snake. God has made a way for everybody to be saved from death, from hell, from sin. And it's me. And this is where that really, really famous verse comes from, verse 16, where Jesus says, how can we be made right with God? Joel was totally right. It is about how we can be made right with God. How can we be saved? Verse 16, famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but have eternal life. God made a way for people to be saved. And that way is Jesus. So as Jesus talks, he's chatting to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus's mind is just blown by all of this stuff. And we don't have time to go into all the details of how Nicodemus would have reacted to this as a chief priest. But his mind is just... Let's summarize what Jesus has said so far. The first picture he gave him was new birth. And the big point of that is you can't make yourself okay with God. Only God can make you okay by giving you a whole new life by the Spirit. And then you give him the second picture, the bronze snake. God has made a way for you to be saved. And that way is Jesus. And so they've been chatting for ages now, Jesus and Nicodemus. We've been listening in. But they probably should get some sleep. Have a busy day next day. But actually, this stuff is so important. It's more important than anything. And so there's one last picture that Jesus gives. One last picture, a picture of darkness and light. Because despite everything that Jesus has said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus still doesn't kind of get it. And despite everything that we've learned today as we look at it, it's very easy for us not to get it either. It's very easy for us to not understand. Jesus has told Nicodemus that we can't make ourselves right with God. He's pointed to himself as the way to be made right with God. But now he tells us why it's so important that we don't reject Jesus as the way to be made right with God. Have a look at verse 18. This is what Jesus says about himself. Whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So he gives a picture a little bit like this, darkness and light. And he says that people are born into darkness. But when they become Christians, when they give a new birth, they're brought into the light. That's the picture that Jesus gives. But he says here, he uses a word condemned here, doesn't he? And when he says that word condemned, he's talking about the dark side. He's talking about being guilty in God's eyes. Being wrong in God's eyes, deserving punishment from God. And actually, Jesus says that all of us start on that side. All of us are born into that darkness. That's where we begin. That's why he says they stand condemned already. It's not that, you're neutral, but now depending on how you react to Jesus, you'll either go light or dark. No, we start in the darkness. We stand condemned. We all deserve punishment. None of us deserves the golden light of heaven. We all deserve the darkness. And so the question is, how can we move from this side to that side? We've already kind of looked at it, but that's the big question that comes out here. How can we be made right with God? How can we make sure that we're not in the darkness, but we're in the light? What can we do? Actually, we can't do anything, can we? But God has made a way. Look at verse 14 to 17 again. And this is one of those passages where there's two sections and the main important bit is right in the middle. Verses 14 to 17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So whoever believes in Jesus moves from darkness to light, moves from death to life, moves from condemnation and guilt in God's eyes to being free and forgiven in God's eyes. That's the last picture that Jesus gives Nicodemus. They've had a big old chat, haven't they? And Nicodemus heads home, I guess. We don't really find out what happens at the end of this. We do see Nicodemus later, and he later does come to believe in Jesus. But at this point, he's just trying to figure all of this stuff out. But they've had a big old chat, and as we've listened in, there's been some really important stuff that's come out of there. More important than any other thing you might listen into, any other conversation you might overhear, any kind of podcast you might listen to. But as we wrap up, I think there's a few big questions we need to ask ourselves. This is what Jesus has kind of said. In summary, the first picture is it reminds Nicodemus and it reminds us you can't make yourself okay with God. None of us can. The second picture reminds us that God has made a way for you to be saved, and that's Jesus. And the third picture is to remind us we start in darkness. If we stay where we are now, we will only have darkness for the rest of our lives, not just this life, but the life to come. But Jesus can move us to the light. That's the summary. Now, big question. Are you okay with God? I want you to stop and think about it. Are you okay with God? I ask you that because Nicodemus assumed he was fine, and this conversation with Jesus challenged everything for him. It's so easy for us to walk into this building and assume, yeah, because I go to Gunnersbury, because I do this, and because I know that, I know my Bible, I give to charity, yeah, I'm okay with God. Are you? How does this passage challenge? Are you okay with God? Some of us today might think, you know what? I don't think I am. And I need to come to the way that God has given for us to be saved. Come to Jesus, so that I can cross from death to life, from darkness to light. If that's you, then just tell God what you think. Be honest with him. Are you okay with God? If you're not, don't stay in the darkness. But ask God to move you into the light. But some of us, we might see that question and you think, are you okay with God? And you might think, yeah, I think so. I think I am. If that's you, then how do you know? What confidence do you have? What assurance do you have? How do you know? When I ask that second question, how do you know? Do you think of things you do? Stuff you read, things you listen to, events you attend, friends you have? Do you think of things you don't do as a, you know, compared to your work colleagues? Compared to your friends at school? How do you know? Nicodemus had so much. He had a long list of things that he could point to. Yeah, I know I'm okay with God because chief priest, Pharisee, and actually the whole time Jesus said, no, you're not okay with God because you're thinking about yourself. God has made one way for you to be okay with him, and that's through Jesus. And so our only hope, our only confidence can be on the cross. How do you know you're okay with God? Because Jesus died for me. And that's not just knowledge I have, because I know it makes a difference for me. It's not just something that happened, it's something that affects me, that changes everything for me. That's what made it possible for me to have the new life that God has given to me. When I ask that question, how do you know? If you think of yourself before anything else, You might be more like Nicodemus than we realize. Are you okay with God? How do you know? We are Christians and we're saved and we're forgiven and we have heaven to look forward to because of what God has done for us by sending Jesus. Let's cling to that and let's never let go of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And we thank you that it's recorded for us. We thank you for helping us to listen and thank you for helping me to speak. Father, the challenges that are in this passage, we pray that we would react to them in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, too often we rely on ourselves and we don't rely on what you've done for us, but help us to come back to the cross. Help us to come back to the Son of Man, the one who is lifted up before us, and help us to put our faith in him once more and put all our confidence in him, to know that we are okay with him, not because of anything we've done, but all because of who he is and what he has done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.